Today's reading comes from Proverbs 12, 13, 17, 25, and 27, but not in that order. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. List like one who takes away a garment on a cool day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. This is the word of the Lord.
It's great to have the Franks back with us, so thank you. So during my sabbatical, I connected with a cycling group that meets every Wednesday morning in Anacostia River Park. It started by accident. I bumped into them after doing my own solo laps along the park there, and they warmly welcomed me to join them. And before long, I was added to their WhatsApp group. I think there's a little clip here that you can see. And then another group, and then I was added to another text message group that rides on Saturdays. Oh, there's no, it's not up yet? Is there? Oh, okay. Well, maybe click it again. There, oh, yeah, there we go. Okay. So notice how low the sun is on that in the video. Here's the thing. Wednesday rides start at 7 a.m. and Saturday rides, 6 a.m. I would never choose to wake up at that time to ride. But because these new friends do, I do. Because they get out there, I get out there. And because we're ride together regularly, we're all becoming stronger cyclists. And honestly, I'm probably in the best cycling shape I've ever been in since riding with them over the past few months. We trade friendly jabs with each other about our stats on this ride tracking app that we all share. But I say to them, it's like, I can only ride like this because I'm riding with you. And then last week, as we were about to set off, one of the group members said something that surprised me. He said, I just wanted to say that I really look forward to these rides with you. I don't let many people into my life, but I'm really grateful for you, so thanks. It took a lot of courage, I think, for him to say that with a bunch of men standing in Lycra, right? So he put into words, though, what I had already been thinking. Because of these new friends, my routines have changed. My health has improved. And my joy has grown, and I've become a better cyclist and maybe even a better person because of who I'm riding with. But that story isn't just about cycling. It's about formation. It's about how our habits, our health, and even our hearts are shaped by the people that we journey with. And in our Cultivating Wisdom for Life series, today we're looking at how the company we keep isn't just a lifestyle issue. It's a spiritual one. So Proverbs has a lot to say about the kind of people that we walk with and the kind of friend that we are to others. And according to the wisdom of Scripture, friendship isn't just social, it's spiritual. It forms our habits, it shapes our hearts, and it steers the direction of our lives. So today, we're going to look at how friends and fools pull us in different directions, and how becoming a wise and faithful friend is central to the life of wisdom. And if we're paying attention to this journey, Proverbs just might offer us, lead us towards a kind of friend that we all long for but can't find on our own. So what does wise friendship actually look like? Proverbs gives us four snapshots that I'll just observe, and then we'll talk a bit about them after. Wise friends make you wiser. Wise friends speak with care. Wise friends speak with courage. And wise friends are constant. Wiser, care, courage, and constant. So observation one, wise friends make you wiser. As Stacy read for us from 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. It's saying friendships, they're not neutral. They form us. Who you walk with determines where you end up. And Proverbs gives us very clearly two choices for where you might end up. You either become wise or you become a fool. Psalm 1:1-3 tells us the same in slightly different words. There we hear, blessed is the one who does not walk with wicked, the sinners, and the mockers. I think that's David's language for fools. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord? That's David's language for the wise. Not only do our companions form us, the people who we surround ourselves with make us wiser by reminding us of who we are. Our community becomes part of our identity formation. We don't really know ourselves by ourselves. And as much as we want it to be true, we don't get to define ourselves by ourselves. You see, our parents, our teachers, our mentors, our coaches, they all had a role in our formation to make us the person that we are today, whether it was good or bad influence. We don't end up where we are now without the communities that we have passed through. And our friends help us do that for us now. And most of us, I think, underestimate the slow, quiet impact of the people that we surround ourselves with. We don't realize it until we step maybe outside of those groups and relationships. This week in our staff meeting, Alex, our children's coordinator, shared something that was really honest. She was reflecting on her college years and where she was part of a very politically active sorority. But when she looked back, she realized that even though the sorority wanted to work for justice and action, much of the time that they actually spent doing things together was for shopping. Shopping was the glue that held them together. It was the shared activity. And years later, she can look back and still feel how those rhythms have shaped her as a person today. And she said something like this: I'm realizing now, as I've been part of this women's Bible study for a few years, that I've started to feel some dissonance. The people I'm with now have different values. They help me reimagine what joy and meaning and community can look like. And it's not tied to what I want to buy. The people we walk with shape what we love. They shape what we spend on and what we aspire to. And it's not just about advice for life. They reshape our rhythms of how we actually live. So the question for us is, are you becoming more wise because of the people that you surround yourself with? Observation 2. Wise friends speak with care. Here are the next series of Proverbs, 12:15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Verse 18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. 27:9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. See, these Proverbs paint us a picture. Fools speak before they listen. They vent their annoyances, and their words often hurt others. But the wise, they consider the timing of when they say things, the tone of how they say it, and the truth of what they're actually saying. In other words, the wise speak with care. And as a result, their words bring healing to others, their words build others up. And here Proverbs 23:20 gives us a warning. He says, like the one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like the vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. What is this trying to say? Aren't singing songs when you're feeling down a good thing? See, what this is trying to say is that fools attempt to soothe things because they are uncomfortable with someone else's hurt. They say sweet nothings to one another. When the writer of Proverbs says singing cheerful songs to a heavy heart, he's saying that that's as hurtful as ripping off someone's coat when they're in the cold, or pouring vinegar onto wounds. Consider the words and the attitudes of the people you surround yourselves with. And maybe you're even in a long-term relationship with someone. Caring friends know how and when and what to say to bring healing and to build you up. In the days following the death of Evan, our son, 2 years ago, many people said caring and thoughtful things. But sometimes, well-intentioned people, who I assume cared deeply, said the right thing, but at the wrong time. So, here are a few suggestions to be a wise friend, especially to someone who is hurting. Don't say, "Let me know what I can do to help," or "Let me know if you need anything." See, that puts a burden on someone who's already hurting and low to have to think about something, to decide on something, and then come back to you and ask for it. Instead, what can you do? Just do the thing. Send the food. Run the errand. And if you don't know what you need to do, just don't offer it. That's okay. Or if, even better, if you want to do something practical, talk to someone who knows their situation and ask, "What can I do?" And just go do the thing. Just do the thing. Secondly, the warning in Proverbs to not sing songs to a heavy heart means don't try and be overly positive. Don't say things like, "Well, at least they're in a better place," or "God's got this." Now, it may be true, and it may even be biblical, but if it's said at the wrong time, it can be unhelpful. So, and I get it. These words are well-intentioned, but often they're more about easing our own discomfort than really caring for the person who's hurting. We want to seem like a good friend, but end up centering ourselves instead of them. Sometimes the most faithful thing you can do is simply be present with them and just empathize. And if you don't know what to say, you can say something like this: "I am so sorry. I have no words," because that's exactly how the person's feeling. And if you're listening and you're thinking, "Oh no, I've said that before. I've said, oh, let me know what I can do to help." Don't worry. No big deal. You might even have said it to me and Julia. Again, no worries. No big deal. We're all learning how to be wiser. And now we're getting wiser, so let's grow together. Wise friends speak with care, but they also speak with courage. And that's where we're headed next. Observation 3, wise friends tell you the truth. Wise friends tell you the truth. Proverbs 27 says this: "Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Verse 17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." These excerpts from Proverbs 27 paint a picture that true friendship often involves speaking hard truths to one another. Real friendship isn't just flattery and affirmation. It's faithful candor. Real friendship is faithful candor. It's what the writer of Proverbs here calls open rebuke. No one likes to be rebuked. No one likes it to be done in open, but Proverbs is saying there's something wise about people who do this. Someone making a truthful observation about you isn't always being toxic, okay? Sometimes that's just called being a good friend. Hidden love seeks to protect the other person. Well, it makes you think you're protecting the other person by not saying what needs to be said. Hidden love isn't really love, at least of the other person. Hidden love helps no one except yourself. Hard truth, on the other hand, offered in love, heals and protects others. Hard truth can build others up. Verse 17 is a very vivid image of how iron remains sharp. During my visit to Japan earlier this year, I was able to go to the Tsukiji fish market and get this nice chef's knife. I wanted a chef's knife to cook with. And he taught me how to take care of it, because he made this blade. And he said, you know, every time you use it, you have to wash it and dry it. So now that's what I do. But not only that, you have to hone it, right? But not only that, he said, you take it on a on a stone and you grind it even more. All of that removes nicks and burrs to keep the blade doing what it was intended to do. It seems like a destructive process. Well, it is a destructive process, but it's purposeful. Wise friends do the same for us. They challenge, they correct, and they might even wound us. But not all wounds are bad. Some wounds are for our good. Avoiding hard conversations is often more about protecting yourself from discomfort than really caring for the other person. So here's a question for you. Do we surround ourselves with yes men and yes women? Or do we surround ourselves with truth tellers who care for us? The other question is, are you willing to be that kind of friend for others? Paul encourages the Ephesian church in 4:15, saying, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." You see, wise friends tell us the truth so that all of us might become more like Jesus. Here at WCF, we've been using this the language of that process as being formed in the likeness of Jesus for the sake of others. Being formed in the likeness of Jesus for the sake of others. And as followers of Jesus, we tell the truth to one another in love so that we might all be built up to be more like Jesus, which actually ends up becoming more like ourselves as God intended. Here's something important, though. Don't do observation 3 without observation 2. Don't do observation 3 without observation 2. In other words, tell the truth, speak candidly, but carefully. You see, the right word at the wrong time is the wrong word. The right word at the wrong time is the wrong word. Hard truths are delivered on the foundation of trusted relationships. Some of us really have an inclination to tell hard truths. We're naturally inclined to it because it makes us feel better about ourselves, because it makes us feel right. It gets things off our chest. But that's self-love. That's not loving the other person. That's not what wise friends do. Wise friends have courageous conversations, whether it's with family, friends, coworkers, or neighbors. So here are a few tips for engaging in courageous conversations. In any truth-telling situation, once you have a relationship and a connection, be empathetic and be direct. Be empathetic and be direct. You could say something like this: "Thanks for making time to meet with me. I need your help with something." See, that's empathy. That's collaborative. You're working on something together. You don't have to preamble it with like, "Hey, how was your week going? Oh, I really appreciate it." Because everything after you say after that, they're going to forget it. Just jump right in. Say, "I need your help. Thanks for meeting with me." Then you could say something like this. This is going to be hard to hear. That's direct. Pause. Give them a moment to collect themselves because they know something, might hear something that might be different from what they expected. Then just deliver the bad news. Deliver the hard truth. You could say something like this: "I need your help knowing how to feel about something you said last week. When you said this, I felt this. I experienced it this way." See, when you frame it like that, you're not assuming intent. You're not assigning blame. You're not trying to shame the other person. You're stating facts as you experience them. And you're putting it forward, you're putting something on the table to solve together with the other person. And those who are humble and who desire to grow will receive words like that. They'll clarify, they'll seek to grow from the interaction. So that's one way to have a courageous conversation. So try that and become a wiser and more courageous friend. Wise friends make you wiser. Wise friends are careful. And wise friends are candid. And finally, wise friends show up when it counts. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother and sister is born for a time of adversity. Real friends don't just show up when it's easy. They show up when it costs them something. Crisis reveals the depth of our friendships and often the strength of our own character. Proverbs warns us about being fair-weather friends, those who disappear when you need them the most. And many of us, I understand, know the tension of transactional and temporary relationships in our modern culture. People are in your life mainly for what they can gain for the moment. That seems to be just part of modern, fast-paced, upwardly mobile life. But wise friends are the ones who stay, even when life falls apart. And for some of us, maybe that thought is a painful question to ask of yourself and a difficult one to answer. Who will be there for me when crisis comes? Who do I call and who's going to answer? And over the years, I've seen and I've personally experienced how this WCF community shows up with love and care in the most difficult times. We're not perfect at it at all, but I'm grateful that we can be a community that embodies this. And I hope, if you're newer here and getting to know us, I hope that you get to experience that, as many of us here have, as you enter fully into this community. Wise friends make you wiser. They speak with care. They speak candidly when it counts. And they stay constant through crisis. If you're like me, you're saying, like, where do I find friends like that? And just as honestly, how do I even become a friend like that? Let's be real. This kind of friendship is pretty rare. Our world celebrates independence more than interdependence. Most of us carry wounds from past relationships, or we fear being known too deeply. And even in our best efforts, we often fall short in being that kind of friend. We speak too quickly, we avoid hard conversations, or we leave people hanging when they need us the most. We've all done that. And this is where Proverbs, as wise as it is, leads us to long for something more. It stirs this deep ache in us, but for not for better friends, but to be a better friend. And it leads us ultimately to Jesus. See, in John 15, Jesus speaks to his closest friends during his last meal with them. These are his final moments with them before he endures the worst crisis of his own. Betrayal, false accusations, abandonment, injustice, suffering, and ultimately, death. Yet Jesus embodies all that Proverbs calls wise. He tells those who would turn on him, he calls them friends. Imagine that. He's constant in that shared moment of crisis. He's candid with them in correcting them. He's considerate, gives considerate words so that they might be healed. For example, when he predicts Peter's betrayal, he ends up also receiving him, and that happens. He receives him back into friendship and even commissions Peter to be the architect of the Christian church that was to be birthed after Jesus departed. Jesus doesn't flatter. He speaks the truth. He doesn't abandon. He remains. He wounds in order to heal. And ultimately, he lays down his life for his friends, for you and I. How do we become that kind of friend? It doesn't come by sheer willpower alone. It comes by walking daily with the faithful friend, Jesus. And some of us might fear what God might have to say to us, because deep down inside, we probably know we've got some rough edges that God wants to hone off. We've got some habits that need changing. We've got some voices that tell us who we are can't change. We've got some stuff we need to get rid of. So we keep Jesus at arm's length just when we actually need him the most. So my invitation is, let Jesus hone you. Let Jesus heal you. And let Jesus shape your soul. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says this, My daughters, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a child. The writer of Hebrews tells us that God's correction is friendship. Jess, our Minister for Community Life, shared earlier with me this week about something her former pastor shared. It's up on the screen now. Your friends are your future you. Your friends are your future you. So my question is, what better version of your future self than one that is shaped by walking with Jesus, the faithful friend who never fails, who never flatters, and who never walks away? You know, throughout this Proverbs series, we've suggested every week some practices for you to cultivate wisdom in your life. And so here are a couple of suggested practices to help you become a wiser friend. For some of us, it might be helpful to do a friendship inventory. Reflect on the following questions. Who is my wisest, most honest? Who are those who are most wise and most honest and most constant with me? Who might be the foolish influences? And am I resisting or am I welcoming wise counsel in my life? I encourage you to take some time, maybe this week, journal and reflect and offer that up to God as a practice to say, who will make me wiser? Who will make me and encourage me to become more like Jesus? Secondly, courageous conversations. Others of us might need to practice having a courageous conversation that I mentioned earlier. You can take some of the strategies, go back and listen to it, or you can send me an email. I'm happy to send it to you. How can you be a wise friend that shows care but is also candid with someone that you care about? Maybe it's time to stop singing sweet songs to them. Use some of those strategies that I mentioned earlier. Third practice you can try. This is something that all of us can do. Just simply walk with Jesus, the faithful friend. You can go read John 13 and 17 this week and watch how Jesus models faithful friendship, wise friendship with those he cares about. And let his words, let his love, let his faithfulness shape how you learn to love those around you. Wise friends make you wiser. Wise friends speak with care and with candor. Wise friends stay when others walk away. If you want to become that kind of friend, start by walking with the one who already is. His name is Jesus, the wisest, truest, and faithful friend. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being that faithful friend, the one that we long for, the one who's candid, the one who's constant, the one who's careful. Teach us to walk with you, to listen to your voice. And may we become friends who speak truth and love, who show up in hard times. May we be those who help others grow in wisdom and grace. Form us by the power of your Spirit to be the kind of companions that reflect your heart for the world. We ask these things in your name. Amen.